before I got here, but I'm now in my fifth year here, and I can say that was the greatest car show ever. We had an enormity of cars, which made it great. But what made it great to just watch, to just step back and see, was just to see how Cook's Church punches above our weight, right? We don't have a ton of members, but man, when we come together to do something awesome, we get it done. And I'll tell you what, yesterday was an example of that. I'll not forget coming back by the food booth and seeing that line all the way to about here and thinking, man, those guys are crushed, but they banged it out. And the ladies were banging it out with the bake sale. I mean, it was just it was majestic, guys. So anyway, if you volunteered yesterday, there's just too many people to thank by names. But of course, we got to think of the leaders, Dwight and Dolores. So let's give them a round of applause. And all of the many people, if you volunteered, give yourself a hand because I know you worked hard too. Just an amazing day. Okay, but we just keep rolling here at Cook's. We got another amazing day. Yeah.
I had several people tell me that this is the best show they come to all year.
Right?
The church does a good job.
Yeah. Dale?
Facebook announced this morning the couple that had the Cadillac fit in the corner right here.
Yeah. Yeah, praise God.
And also, a large 2XL left. I'll be selling in the back of the church, the back of the truck. Back of the church. And also has the Mobile Tent Maker Church, but a 3X and a 4X.
Okay. Our Cook's Cares cooking class tonight will meet today to learn how to whip up a couple of things. We're going to do a couple of apps. Going to teach you how to do a good sausage cheese ball and some crab stuffed mushrooms. So why don't you come and learn how to do that today at 3 o'clock. And then afterwards, stick around at 4:30. We have the prayer team meeting. We're going to be doing a real special event today. So again, if you've been coming, make sure that you're here for that today at 4:30 in room 113. And then after that, at 6 o'clock, we have our adult Bible study today. The study is entitled Promises You Can Count On. And gosh, does the Lord provide for those for us. So what a great topic for that class. June's Community Mail is this Thursday, June 13th from 5 to 6:30 at Hillcrest Baptist Church. The menu will be chicken pie, salad, fruit, and dessert. Please invite your friends and neighbors to come to this with you to enjoy this delicious meal and some wonderful fellowship. The beautiful flowers today are in loving memory of Edwin Thomas, Tommy Young, given by his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. I know we have Kelly that wants to make a quick announcement, but is there anybody before her that needs to be heard? Okay, Kelly.
Can y'all hear me?
No.
Okay. Well, this thing ain't
working.
There it goes. I would just like to thank all my bakers that showed up for me yesterday. It is so appreciated. And all of the people that I asked to help stepped up and didn't even question. So I'd like to thank Maria Cox, Carrie Troxler, Bev Weldy, and Petey Self. And I'd like to announce that we made $970 yesterday at the bake sale.
Good news all around. All right, let us open our hearts and minds now to the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let us turn our hearts to the Lord in trust and hope.
We place our trust in the Lord, seeking His steadfast love.
In the midst of life's challenges and uncertainties,
we rest in the Lord's guidance and His righteous way.
As we gather to worship today, may our hearts be still.
May our souls find peace.
Let us continue in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for gathering us under your grace and love here in your house this morning. Bless our worship with an abundance of your Holy Spirit, allowing us not only to hear your word, but also, Father God, to know exactly how we shall respond. Be in our worship and in our prayers, be in our songs, allowing us to know you better, to love you more earnestly, and to serve you more dedicatedly. Bless us, Father. Shine your face upon us and allow us to experience the fullness of your mercy, love, and peace through Jesus Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 119. Reminds us that if we say that we have not sinned, that we actually deceive ourselves and that the truth cannot be found in us. The gospel goes on to tell us that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us of our sins and forgive us of all and any wrongdoing. So with that boldness in mind, let us come before the Lord, confessing our sin briefly before him in our prayer of confession, and then silently turning to him in our hearts, asking for forgiveness before receiving the great and wonderful gospel. Friends, let us begin with our prayer of confession in this morning's bulletin. We come before you, confessing our sins and seeking your mercy. We have often failed to recognize the power and authority of Jesus Christ, and we have not always been faithful witnesses. Forgive us for our doubts and shortcomings. Renew our hearts and minds, that we may live boldly for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we have been brought into a wonderful new state of being. Our sins have been washed away, and we are assured the promise of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Now let us sing, affirming our faith. Please be seated, and we'd like to invite the kids to come down for a time that's just for them with Clayton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing? How's the summer? No? What do you mean no? You got to be glad you're out of school, right? It's just no. You're good. You glad you're out of school? Good. So what have you been doing? Swimming a lot? Fishing. Ooh, nice. You catch anything? All right, cool. Very nice.
Move this a little bit.
What else have you been doing this summer? Swimming. What else? You're playing basketball, right?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Who can tell me what the Holy Spirit is? Spirit. What? Holy. A spirit that's holy. Okay. Thank you. You want to expand on that a little bit?
No.
No. We are light bulbs. Okay. Yes, we are. Just bear with me here. Okay. Stay with me. I know you're not in school, but stay with me. We're light bulbs. Now, a light bulb by itself, does it shine?
No.
All right, what does a light bulb need?
Electricity.
Okay, what kind of help does it need?
Electricity.
Okay, it needs a power source, right? If a light bulb's going to work, yes, it needs a power source. Okay, so if we're the light of Christ, what's our power source? Okay, specifically what though? What does God give us? Okay, the Holy Spirit, right? We're studying about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is when Jesus had left, and now it was the disciples, and now they are not just going to the Jews, but they're going to a Gentile. Gentile is somebody who's not Jewish. So they are bringing the gospel to people that aren't Jewish. And in the book of Acts, the most important thing happens in the just second chapter of Acts, right at the beginning. They receive the Holy Spirit. They are in a room, and all of a sudden the Spirit comes down, and it looks like tongues of fire on them. Now, you had people from all over the region. So think if you were French, and you were Spanish, and you were Russian, and you were German, or whatever language you want to be. I'm talking in one language, but whatever country that you're from, you would hear it in your native language. So even though I'm speaking in English, you would hear it in French. You would hear it in Spanish, Russian, German. That's what was happening in Pentecost. And they're going, what's happening? Now, this was 9 o'clock in the morning. So guess what? The people are going, oh, these guys are drunk. And Peter stands up and he says, wait a minute. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not drunk. And so he proceeds to tell these people what's happening. And from that point on, the church explodes. The gospel explodes. And they're literally, some people say that in that span, in the first 100 years, 1 million people came to know Christ. But just in this time of the book of Acts, thousands of people were getting saved every day because they were hearing the gospel. Now, how do you think you would react if you saw somebody all of a sudden speaking in tongues? Have you ever heard somebody speak in tongues? Okay. It's a spiritual gift. Not everybody has that gift. I have that gift, and I enjoy it. It's a prayer language, so I use that. But as Peter says, even though you speak in tongues, there needs somebody to understand it. And it's a very different and very supernatural gift, but it's not more important than any gift that God gives us. But this is what was happening at Pentecost. So you guys are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you have Christ in your heart, then you automatically receive the Holy Spirit, which means now we have the power of God to do what God wants us to do. So let me ask you a question. You have to answer this. Do you live your life based on having the power of God in you? That's what our challenge is every day. We can wake up and go, God, send us to do your will, or God, get out of my life. You know what the early church was called? The Way. W-A-Y, the Way. I heard a speaker one time say, we can either get in the way or we can get out of the way. But we are called the Way. So keep that in mind today. And every day that you live, God gives us His Spirit. And we're the light bulb. And Matthew says, a city on a hill, what? Can't be hidden. If you got this city on the hill and it's bright, it's going to be seen. So we need to let our light shine. And that's why the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. And so we're going to be talking the whole summer. Jason's going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. All right? Cool. Join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your Spirit that empowers us to live our lives. Help us remember that we are your light and we are the hands and feet of Christ. But we can do nothing without your Spirit. So bless us and keep us focused on what you call us to do every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word. And as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me. Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would light up in our hearts what the meaning of this word we'll read today is. Through the reading and its proclamation, we pray that your word, your message, your speech to us would be heard and clearly interpreted by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we would know with clarity how to serve you, how to love others, and to respond to your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament scripture reading today is Psalm 46, which is page 559 in the Pew Bible. And it's up on the screen behind me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, and God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations to the earth. He makes wars cease. He makes to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still, and I know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress.
Our New Testament reading continues from where Acts picks up after the descent of the Holy Spirit. This is after the Spirit has come into the room. They have gone out into the streets, and Peter begins what will be the first of several sermons that he makes throughout the books of Acts, and we'll look at each of those in the course of our study. I've just included an excerpt of this sermon for you, but it is worth reading. It's in the second chapter of Acts, the entirety of it, and we'll talk about some of it in the sermon. But for the time being, hear now the word of our Lord Jesus Christ from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and I'm going to be reading verses 14 through 24, and I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Holy Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and significant day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I'm a big fan of what I'm going to call second acts in life. Second acts in life come, at least for me, as I worked through a job and felt like I was being called to something else. As many of you know, I had been a chef and a culinary school instructor before becoming a pastor. And it was in my time of working that I joined a church and really felt the stirrings of the Holy Spirit and really began to believe that I was being called to the ministry. So ministry came for me after I had already worked about 10 years in kitchens and as a chef. And so I call it my second act, in a way, the second act that God led me to. And second acts can be wonderful things. They're the kinds of things that can really add to and augment your life. I'm sure my parents thought I was just as crazy. You know, I dropped out of college to go to culinary school. They thought I was nuts then. I'm pretty sure they thought I was nuts when I told them that I was going to go to seminary the second time, too. But I hope my mom has come to kind of know differently. What I want to tell you is that this second act has been a tremendous blessing. I've gotten to see things and do things that I never would have heard or happened to me. I can honestly tell you some of my closest friends are in prison, and I never would have thought that, right? Never would have thought that could have happened to me. And yet it did. And so what I want you to know is that not everybody wants or needs a career change. I don't want to make it sound like second acts have to be located in the realm of vocation. But in a sense, we all, as it relates to the gospel, might need a second act, a new awakening, a second movement of our life and our spirit and seeing our paths go forward more and more into the service of the Lord. That is certainly something that we would want to see happen. And we know right now America desperately needs something. And again, I think a revival is exactly what America needs, and I'm not afraid to say it. I think we all need to return once again to this simple and yet profound message that we hear, that we're not the center of the universe, that we're not perfect, that in fact that we're fallen, but that there is a God that in that fallenness loved us enough to send his son to die for us. And that after that, as his son defeated death, that we were given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here to do something in and through us. It's very well biblically defined. And although we tend to gravitate toward our understanding of the Holy Spirit as being predominantly for comfort and for care, Acts is going to show us a completely different side of the Holy Spirit. Because in the Holy Spirit, in Acts, is going to be all about the boldness and the lack of fear experienced by our the earliest apostles and disciples in the church. And so America needs this kind of revival because there are so many people suffering right now. Again, you hear me say it probably ad nauseum, but right now, people with anxieties and depressions, the numbers are rising astronomically. There seems to be in that even the worst news that not only are the numbers rising, that the successful outcomes, that is, that the people that are being led away from these anxieties and depressions by traditional means, is coming down and down and down and down. Our therapies aren't working anymore. We're not getting better. There is a way, though, I think, that the Bible puts forward that we do find not only peace and contentment, but freedom from sin and the ability to enjoy communion not only with God, but with one another in a way that is mutually satisfying to the Lord and to us. And it begins somewhere. It begins as more men and women rise, finding within themselves the temerity to bring forward the gospel. The gospel is this simple message that Peter goes out and preaches. Peter, as he preaches, delivers what's a very simple sermon. You know, sometimes sermons set up. I can remember one a couple of weeks ago where Jimmy Phipps came up to me and said, "Hey, listen, I understand that Jesus died for my sins, but that was about the only thing I understood in that sermon," and he was right. Right? It was all over the place and rambling. We make mistakes sometimes, and we got to move on from them. But the fact of the matter is Peter's sermon was right on the money because it was so simple. And listen where it ends, right? We didn't read the ending part, but we need to hear it this morning because I think it is pretty telling. He ends this sermon by saying this: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Definite, absolute, 100% will receive. And then he goes on. He says, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, quote, save yourself from this crooked generation. Peter begins his message with a scandalous expression. Repent and believe in the gospel. These are words we don't hear much anymore. The call to repentance is often muted within the mainline denominational churches. We don't attend to it because in some ways we've really morphed into a more universalistic and less Christian declaration of what the Bible says. And it's a mistake. It's what loses people. It's why we don't see people in the pews, because we don't also, both corporately and individually, have a very simple message. The gospel, do you get, gives us a simple message, right? The gospel comes to me, and it begins in the worst possible place for me, because it begins with an assault on the thing that I hold most dear, which is my absolute perfection, right? The gospel comes and says, despite self-esteem training for 30 years, you are not the greatest thing since sliced bread. Not every idea you come up with is brilliant. That you yourself, Jason Bryant, you yourself are fallen, a sinner, not right with me. But it doesn't leave us there. That's not gospel, that's bad news. The gospel comes to us through these passages that remind us that there is a solution, that there is a way out, and it's one that's blessed and given by God, and then we find after we've taken it that it was God moving us all along. We repent and we're baptized. That's the message that Acts hammers into our heads with absolute clarity. And what we see following that, what we see following that basic, simple declaration is massive amounts of people coming to Jesus Christ. Like, if we read Acts, and I'm going to make sure I attend to these passages as we hear, these speeches will come, these sermons, I shouldn't call them speeches, these sermons will come from Peter, from Stephen before he's executed, from Paul. And these sermons will come and they never deviate. A very simple, direct message. You are not perfect, but there's a God that amazingly loved you in your manifold imperfections. That this God, while you were yet sinners, suffered and died on a cross for you. And because of that, and only because of that, are we shared the Holy Spirit of God, which comes into our bodies and cleanses us of our sin. And it begins to awaken us the desire to do something different. What do I mean by different? Well, the difference is the great silence that we have in America. The great silence that we have in America is this binding of our tongues through a variety of different means, that when we want to rise up and declare the good news of Jesus Christ, that something in the back of our heads fires, stopping us, preventing us. What that thing is could be any number of things, but we need to address it and move on, because right now the Christian church in America is struggling, and as a result, America is struggling. What do I mean by that? Every 10 years, there's a Pew survey and study done on the state of religion in America. It looks mostly at Christianity, because Christianity tends to be the dominant religion here, but it covers all aspects and facets of faith. The most recent one will come to us with what seems like a decent number, but until we dig into it. As of the 2020 Pew survey, 63% of Americans self-report as Christians. Hey, that sounds pretty good, right? We're 6 out of 10. We're holding our own. Except you come back to 2010, just 10 years before, and that number of self-identifying Christians is 78%. Do you see? 70, I'm no mathematician, 78 less 62, right? Yeah. We've dropped. Why? Men and women are silent about the gospel. We're not sharing it. We're taking Christianity and making it more about a personal self-help program than we are about identifying the people in our lives who need the declaration and the good news. There are people in every one of our lives, we know them, maybe it's us, that need to hear this simple message that we aren't the best thing since sliced bread, but there's a God that loved us, the God that does something for us, and a God that changes us so that we no longer do those things that lead us into the dark places. That is what Jesus Christ shares with us in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Bible's about. Now, we might hear it under the banner of social justice. We might hear it under the banner of Marxism. We might hear it under the banner of any number of things. But what the gospel is about, what the Bible shoves everything into, is the awareness that Christ is Lord and that we are forgiven, sinners in his light. That's the Bible. And as we deviate from that simple message, we lose people because it becomes confusing and it becomes rote, or it becomes obscure and abstract in a way that doesn't impact lives. Theology will do that to us in a heartbeat. Theology, you can read, John Calvin wrote two episodes bigger than the Bible, on the Bible. The next iteration, Karl Barth, wrote 10 volumes bigger than the Bible, right? Theologians can lose us. And we, make no mistake about it, in the Presbyterian Church USA are a deeply theological church. We're not as biblical as we once were. I think that would be accepted by everyone. But it's the Bible that we have, and it's the Bible that shares with us that this silence is a damnable one. Because this silence is not of God. What gets into the back of our brains? What stops us? What stops us from sharing the gospel? Well, the first thing, the first one of many that can happen to us is we fear rejection. I get that. I don't talk about it much, but there was a point before I leapt into ministry that I was really tired of the culinary game, the being out late at night. And it was fortunate I got a job as a culinary instructor at that point. But I looked at other jobs, and one of them I looked at was an insurance salesperson. And I really thought early on that that might be a good way to go. But then I realized something, that my lead list was the Charlotte White Pages, and I was going to need to cold call people until they bought insurance. And I imagined my days being filled with nothing but ongoing and repeated rejection, and I knew I couldn't handle it. So I left, and thanks be to God I did. Not that insurance selling is bad. If you do it, praise God, right? We need it. But it wouldn't have been the right thing for me, I don't think. But the fact of the matter is many of us fear rejection. And so we don't take even that first step out on a ledge when we hear our friends who are suffering or struggling. We don't want them to reject us in that moment, so we don't suggest faith as a solution. And the suffering continues. I'm here to tell you that if what is holding you back is this fear of rejection, get over yourself. Because the gospel will be rejected. We know that. The gospel was rejected in the first century. Jesus Christ gave clear instructions to his disciples. He sent them out two by two. He said to them, if any house won't receive you, shake the sand from your sandals and leave. So Jesus knew that the gospel wouldn't be received by everyone. And he even told us to make a gesture to show how sad we are and to move on. So we know the gospel will be turned down. We also know something else. It takes about 30 exposures, 30 invitations, before most people will respond and come to a church service. Can you imagine that? So every time, maybe yesterday, you thought you invited somebody, and maybe we don't see them here and we're a little disappointed, what we got to realize is we sowed a magnitude of seeds yesterday, right? Don't lose sight of that. We shared the gospel through our love and through our invitations to this church. And that's one, right? We know that all of those people here, all of those 150 car owners and all of the people that were gathered to look and gaze at them heard an invitation. So we got one in. Maybe we got two. Maybe of members, and I know y'all did, maybe we got 7 or 8, 10, 12. We're getting them there, right? Keep it up. What are some other reasons that we might find ourselves short changing our gospel? Well, there's another reason. We're fearful we don't know enough, right? I would challenge even this. That's why this message is so simple. Do you understand that you're not perfect? Do you understand that God died for your sins? Do you understand that because of that you're insured eternity in the kingdom of God? Then guess what? You are fully competent, fully trained, fully able to declare the good news. And if you run into an issue, you got one of these things, you can probably solve it pretty fast, or you can call me or some other buddy that you think maybe knows a little bit more if you get hit with a question. You can learn, you can study if you feel that silence is coming because you just don't know enough. You do. Add more. Come to more worship services. Come to the Bible studies at night and in the morning. Come, learn, drink, take in. Feed on the Word, and you will find yourself positively overflowing with the joy of Jesus Christ. Well, and then there's the third reason we're silent. We don't want to be a hypocrite. This one, I think, is the most pernicious of all. We might find ourselves rising to the occasion, find ourselves responding in some way that would lead us to share the good news. But then we remember, Jason, you're a sinner. You're still not right. You're still falling short of the glory of God. Well, I have a couple of things to say to you. Remember who made the first speech, the first sermon. It was none other than Peter. What's Peter's track record? Well, we know it, don't we? He rejected Jesus not once, not twice, but three times directly. Peter was a sinner, right? And yet there's the act that we see in 21 of John's Gospel, where Jesus Christ comes even to Peter and says, "Do you love me?" Three times, giving him the opportunity to unwind what he had done. And then what's the message? Feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit when we repent and let go of our sin, and he floods us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is there to both comfort us and to lead us out into that world to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that world, the one that exists beyond the parameters of 3413, I think that's our address, Mount Holly, Huntersville Road, that world needs us. That world out there is struggling. That world out there is broken, and we can see it in the news every single day. And if we don't read newspapers, we can just go out and look around and see it. The world needs us. So if there's something in the way of your evangelism, if there's something, if it's not in what I mentioned, we're praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for myself that whatever it is that finds us when this great silence is overcome, because it's when that's overcome that we'll see revival in America. And when we see revival in America, we're going to see an amazing thing. I believe it. And revival is not such a distant premise. My understanding is that this church experienced a great revival in the 70s and saw an amazing transformation of this congregation. And so please be in prayer for your own knowledge, for your own growth. Be in prayer for the revival of Cook's Church, because it's coming. And most importantly, be in prayer for revival of this nation, that every knee might bow to Jesus Christ so that we might be the exemplar nation that God created us to be. Because when we do that again, when we find our footing firmly anchored to the rock of Jesus Christ, then this country will become exactly what it could have been again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to a time of prayer in which we lift up to the world, lift up to God, all of those worries and concerns that are on our hearts and minds. We pray, remembering those that are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. So let us turn our attention to that now. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just praise you for this day and for this opportunity to worship and rejoice among you. Thank you, Father God, for yesterday. We thank you for the ability of all of the members of this church to come and reach out with the strong love of the gospel. We are making our difference in the world, and we thank you for the abundance of your Holy Spirit to lead us to that. Heavenly Father, we think of the Parker family today as they continue to mourn Jack, and we just pray for them, asking for the Holy Spirit to attend to them in their loss. Father God, we have so many to pray for. We pray for Elena. We pray for Sarah Yarborough. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Pat Hager. We remember the Quinn family, Johnny and others, as they mourn the passing of her brother, Andy Burge. We pray for Charlie McCrary. We pray for Nancy Smith. We pray for those grieving a loss of a loved one. And we pray for the many others that are on our prayer list and are in need of our pastoral prayer. Heavenly Father, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. And we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Friends, this is the time that we've reserved for reflection of the sermon and the giving of gifts. Please feel free to use any of the following options to donate to Cook's Church and their mission to serve Christ in the area. There's a QR code located in the pew rats and on the bulletin to donate electronically, online giving, as well as the plates that are available on the front and back of the sanctuary as you leave. Come now to the close of our worship service, but the beginning of our extra time. I hope that you will spend this time to rejoice with your brothers and sisters in Christ, finding fellowship and sharing the good news amongst each other. We also have the prayer room, so please make sure if you've got a prayer need that you need prayed for, or if you'd like to give your life again to Jesus Christ, that's a great place to do it. Feel free to avail yourself of that prayer room because it is so important. And now let's close our worship. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.